So we'd like to welcome our musical guest today here on Heavy Galaxy, coming to us from the Lone Star State in Houston, called Heavy Rockers Warlung. We've got Phil and Chris joining us. What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good, man.
Glad to be here.
Stoked to be on the show.
Awesome. Awesome. Of course, I got my partner over there on the top right there, Mr. John Gist, the mayor of the Las Vegas Strip of Heavy Rock. What's going on, John?
Strip. I'm not on that strip. I'm not going to hear that shit all.
All right, the off the strip, arts district guy, right?
We'll just say mayor of the rock scene. I'll take that for now.
Okay. All right. You got it. All right. So, guys, man, I know there's a lot going on in the world of Warlung. I mean, you guys just got back from a tour over in Europe. And, I mean, I was looking at your social media stuff, man. I saw you posted some cool pics, but there's one that stood out, man. What you got to talk about that basement show in Germany.
Oh,
it looked like, that looked pretty cool. I'll just say that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that show was actually booked like last minute. It was like a week or so before the date. We had like two dates open, and the venue, it is about to close down, and they're like, they can't book far out in advance. So they're really all about just last minute shows and last minute opportunities for touring bands. So we had played Dresden, Germany the night before, and it was just like, oh, perfect, let's go to Berlin. And it was so sick, like downstairs, like it was like a bar, cafe, bar, cool stuff upstairs, but down was in a basement. Great sound, great vibe, great energy. And everybody just packed that show out. It sold out. That show sold out just because of both bands, but also just the fact that people want to go experience that venue before it closes. The promoter is like, dude, every show we throw is last minute, and people come out because they want to be here before we're done. So
could be the last one.
Yeah, right? Like I say, like they don't know, they only have a couple weeks notice before they're gonna shut down, but they're going through the whole, I guess you could say, gentrification in that area, Berlin. Okay. They said they're just getting rid of a bunch of historic places and building condos. So,
Is that you said that was in Berlin?
Yeah, that was in Berlin.
Wonder if that was east or west. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. We went to the wall, it was awesome.
That was a dingy looking fucking place, like it with wires and shit coming out of the ceiling and stuff.
Yeah, it was nuts. And like, we were playing right by the wall, and it was a tiny stage. We had to put our amps like behind the drums, and I fucked up my head on my guitar just because I was just like, boosh. I was like, oh. Whoops. I had to like turn the head pinning back, but it's fine. It's been through a lot.
But it was kind of cool bands. What kind of cool bands did you, or memorable bands that you got to play with while you were over there?
So surprisingly, there was only two openers the whole tour. So it was just Kadabra and Warlung for 95% of the tour. There was a band called Bus. They were like a blues rock band. And then
Bus?
Yeah.
B-U-S?
B-U-S-S. And then I forget the other, I should know the name of the other band because there was only two, but
I don't remember.
I could look it up. But the other one was pretty cool too. It's just like a stoner rock band, and that was in one of the Italy shows as well. But surprisingly, there was not a lot of openers, and we thought most shows would have had an opener, but we did good without it, surprisingly. Like,
nice. What kind of attendance every show you think? What, I mean, range wise, I just like to get a feel for what Europe's like versus here, and you know, things like that.
Every show was badass. Like the whole time, we were like, there's bound to be a stinker, you know, because it's on the board. You're playing Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you never know what's going to happen. But at least 40 people at every show, 40 to 250 at times, but like 50, like 70 people average, maybe 50.
Oh, that's great. Was,
I'm terrible.
First time in Europe.
I'm terrible at like gauging audiences. Like, but I'll be like, you know, if it's a little room and it's packed, there's 1,000 people. You can, so you can tell.
Our scenes like rows of silhouettes. Yeah. You know, one after the next, behind the next. You know.
Yeah. No, it was sick. It was a good time.
Nice. Very cool, man.
And like, just so the support, like, I mean, just the promoters and the just the people coming out were all like stoked on stoner rock and psychedelic music. So it was refreshing. It was pretty sick.
Yeah. Give us a feel for typical demographics, you know, age, men, women, binary, whatever.
There was actually, I would say maybe 70%, 65% male and the rest women, but like middle-aged to young, all ages, older folks. Nice. Like, it was a lot of women though. And I'm like, this is pretty badass. Like,
nice.
You know, like not
in
just
Houston.
Not, yeah. Know? Not just boys coming out to rock and roll. Yeah. Like it was a mixed demographic in a lot of places. We played some small towns and some small places, but it's like, oh, the rock and roll band is coming into town. Let's go check it out and grab a beer. So like, you know, we had people that were there to see Warlung or see Kadabra, but we also had a lot of people that were just, hey, Heavy Sykes putting on a show. Let's
right. check it out. And live it was, music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was badass. That's great. Like,
yeah, no, I was just going to say, that's cool that people actually will go out to see a show based off the label or, oh, it's a Heavy Sykes show coming. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. I don't really see that here too often, obviously, in the States, but that's, I mean, yeah.
No, it's like, kind of a new development.
Okay.
A few years.
I'm like, I'm pretty inspired, honestly, to just go see more shows. Like, because I'm guilty of just like, I'm fucking Tuesday. Like, I should go.
I do it.
I'm sleeping.
I know, but like, yeah. Now I'm like, I'm going out, whatever. Like, I miss it.
He's
having a quarter life crisis.
Quarter life crisis. Yeah.
Were there a lot of 20 somethings? And I don't know if, you know, under 21 was allowed, or whatever, but were there younger people there?
Yeah, there was younger people. Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Some people we talked to were like, yeah, in their 20s up until 50s and onward, like, right. It was a wide range for sure. Yeah, it was pretty dope.
I mean, you guys are in Houston, which not really known as a great rock and roll hub. I mean,
now it is.
It's been in a reputation for people showing up. Mm-hmm.
It's getting better, man. I mean,
but I want to hear what you guys say. Like,
I would, man. Honestly, Houston is a big indie pop, historically, like indie pop, hip hop,
country,
big, like death metal scene, like,
true,
you know, like,
and some punk.
Yeah, a lot of punk. And lately the kids have been going really hardcore.
That's true.
Crazy.
There's like a punk revival almost going on.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thrash, big thrash band on the east side of town. And
DRI, they're from originally from Houston.
Yeah, DRI. Yeah. Honestly, like, DRI, and just, man, some really great death metal bands, honestly.
For sure.
As far as the stoner doom scene, you know, we got Foster Mother, Stone Nomads are another one that are coming up pretty rock and rolling. And it's a good scene, a little mix of everything. Yeah, oh yeah, Mr. Plow. Was the homies.
Oh yeah. Those guys are great.
Yeah. There's a good scene, and you know, we're 2 hours from Austin, so we can blend with those guys all the time too. So
yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you guys too there. Yeah. I know I was interviewing about a month or so ago, Jude from Stone Nomads. And he was saying, they was talking about that one club, the Black Magic Social Club, I think it's called, right? Yeah. That looks like a great place. You were saying it's like you could give them like $100, they'll let you record videos, they'll let you do anything in there, you're saying. And that's a really unique thing to have, because not many cities have that. That's really cool.
True.
Yeah, for sure. It's a beautiful venue. Like, you go inside, there's awesome artwork mural, there's a backdrop of skulls you play in front of. Very photo friendly, very video friendly. Super cool. It's not super big, so you can pack it in and it feels good.
Yeah.
And that whole area is blowing up with little venues like that are all
east side.
On the east side of Houston, that's the hub for all the hot shit these days.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's good to hear people are, I mean, it's one of the biggest population bases city-wise for a long, long time. It's like top five biggest city. Yeah. And I just know that it's had some stories over the years. Just like Las Vegas has been a tough market for many, many years, and it takes a lot of work just to get people to know anything about this music. I mean, guys are an example of a band that if people heard the music enough and heard the songs, and that's starting from the beginning, because you've had good songs from the beginning, you'd be a lot more popular. But it's just people don't know who they don't know. It's just a very weird, odd situation that's, we have.
It's a lot of
no one knows our music.
Yeah, the hardest part is just getting people to listen to it. But like we open and but the good thing is we're kind of that kind of band where we can play with a lot of genres of bands.
It's true.
Like we opened up for
a lot of different sounds, genres, different showcases, you know.
We opened up for I Hate God, like
yeah.
And we were a little like, well, they asked us to play, we'll see how it goes.
You gotta do it.
And people fucking loved it. And like people were
did they buy stuff?
We brought the heat and it was sick and like everybody loved it, and everyone was like, man, it was kind of refreshing, you know, like seeing some badass rock and roll before.
Yeah, there's some different sounds, you know.
Yeah.
As you're hearing people sing.
The same, you know,
People actually singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And, I mean, it was like.
Did people buy CDs or vinyl or shirts at that kind of show?
Yeah, they did. We did pretty well. Yeah. Like, especially like. Cool. Yeah, people are like, they're going to get a shirt and, you know, stickers are flying off the shelf.
Obviously.
Right. it was pretty sweet. And it was, you know, kind of it was a wide range of crowd, but like a lot of the older folks were like, holy shit, like that was sick, you know?
That reminds me of when I was 18, man.
Yeah. Somebody said we reminded them of like a Heavy Cure. I'm like, wow, I haven't heard that before, but.
Oh, that's weird.
I like I guess because you can hear our vocals, but I don't know. Maybe we should cover Boys Don't Cry or something. Like, you
know. Oh, boy, wow. The Killing an Arab.
But I was like, oh, I haven't heard that one, but thank you.
Yeah. Fascination Street.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that at least had a guitar in it more than the others, seemingly.
Well,
you know, speaking of guitar, you know, you're a unique band with two guitarists. Mm-hmm. Two vocalists, somewhat, right?
Yep.
Two vocalists. Is it the same two people or the main songwriters, or break that down for us?
Man.
Everybody kind of contributes.
Yeah. George, the other guy, lead guitar player and kind of main vocals.
Yeah.
Writes a lot. And we collaborate a lot. Like, whether it's a riff, a melody, a lyric, we jam every week. So we're like a band that since we started at least weekly, we jam. So like, we're just like,
we play different instruments too. Like our drummer, he writes a lot of the lyrics, you know, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Ethan writes a lot. George shits out riffs like a madman.
He doesn't stop writing.
He's a monster.
He's got a record. He's recording a record, you know.
Yeah, he's always, ahead. Yeah, he's working on like other things too.
He's got multiple music projects, you know. And
interesting. listens to your music enough can tell that that's probably not that easy to play live. And so that makes a lot of sense, because I've obviously seen you guys live, God, two or three times now. Yeah. And you do an exemplary job of it. But, you know, you got a lot of harmonies.
Yeah.
Two-part harmonies. That's the
difference. Vocals and stuff. And I just wonder, how do you even come up with doing those? And then how do you, like, I'm not a musician. So I'm not a guy who's musically inclined to try to figure all the composition, how you put it together, but to come up with these ideas of where two are singing at the same time and the guitars and talk to us novices about how that process goes.
Well, we like to fill up the space, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we like layering a lot, you know?
Yeah, especially on our last record, we're like, we're going to pump it.
Yeah.
Full of everything. And a lot of it evolves in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, like, we'll write the song and practice the song. We pretty much have everything well crafted before we go to the studio. Mm-hmm. And we might just have one main vocal. But then in the studio, we're just like, do you hear that?
You gotta add the harmony.
You hear the harmony. Mm-hmm. There. So we add it. And sometimes we will be like, well, I don't know if we can pull that off live. And then we'll start playing the song. I'm like, oh, wait, now we can.
Yeah,
we'll pull it off.
With some practice.
Yeah, with some practice. But we're, mainly layering inspiration from a lot of bands, Beach Boys and stuff, just harmonies. Mm-hmm.
Pink Floyd. Harmonies.
Yeah. Pretty much every sick ass band is littered with harmonies. So, like, Uncle Acid has a lot of harmonies and stuff like that.
But the two-part harmonies, I think, is pretty unique. You know what I mean? That's something that's, especially with Stoner and Doom bands, you just don't see that happen very often. I think that's what really makes you guys stand out from a lot of your peers there in the scene. You know what I mean? Is those vocals, those two-part harmonies. Like I said, it's and you guys, I know also too, was I know Jeff, right, from Duel, he mixed the record, correct? He's a great, you know, engineer, great, you know, studio guy. How was it, you know, working Jeff with him?
It was great. Jeff, man, he's been pretty supportive of the band for a while. But I think beforehand he even reached out like, yo, if y'all ever want to work together. So it was kind of like after our third record, we were like, well, I think we want to try some other stuff.
We were playing shows with Duel. We had been playing Duel, you know, here and there, and we were hanging out, talking, you know, and getting stoked on each other, and just kind of started the relationship from playing shows together with him, you know.
Yeah, and they're big on harmonies too. They're big on layering, stacking. It was a no-brainer. Like, we would have loved to probably go and record with Jeff as well at his studio, but we just have a buddy that we can take our time with, and he's got a solid studio.
Yeah, like locally.
And
he's in Austin, we're in Houston, you know.
Yeah, so logistically makes sense, and we love the guy we work with, Jacob, King Benny Studios, is amazing too. So we'll track with him, and he's got all the sounds we need, and then going and reamping with Jeff.
Tweaking it.
And
Jeff.
Yeah. And we shot Jeff our demos beforehand. Like, George MIDI tracked a bunch of drums, and we did some demos, and then we sent that to Jeff, and Jeff kind of sent us some notes like, oh, maybe you could work on this or add this here, this there. And like, it was a very like, oh, he said exactly what we wanted to do that we planned on doing. So like, okay, Jeff's the guy we need to mix with, because we're exactly on the same page. Like, everything he sent, we're like, of course,
that makes sense.
That's what we were planning on doing, or that was a great idea. So he helped out a lot.
You mentioned Uncle Acid, and that was a band that, your transition from last album to this album, I felt like there was a darker tinge that on a few songs at least really felt in that world of Uncle Acid a little bit. And
yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah. I mean, they've definitely, I mean, we'd be lying if We said they weren't an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, we love them. We've been jamming them for years. They've been around forever.
Since the beginning of Portland, we've been like, oh, that's great.
And yeah.
We see them every chance we get, and we'll eat up their records. Like,
yeah,
they got that raw sound. So we really did want a more raw sound for this last record.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
It's like a live sound almost, you know?
Yeah, go for the live, raw, crunchy, heavy, dark sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you guys got to talk to me a little bit about the video for Return of the Warlords with the masks. I gotta walk us through that, man, because that's a pretty funny video you guys did with that.
Well, we're on a budget at that point. We we were like, shit, we don't have any more money. We spent it all on the record, and we needed to do something. So we're all about trying to put.
It's a protest tune.
Yeah, protest. Yeah, I'm like, right. But no, we were just, what could be cool and easy and fun? And we're like, originally we're like, let's put some lights on and a projector and blast off. And then last minute I was like, yo, let's pick a mask because this could be fun. And it was ridiculous.
No, it's cool because, I mean, like you said, the music, you know, and your lyrics are a little bit more serious. So to add a little humorous side to it, I think is pretty, you know, just to kind of balance that, I thought it was pretty, you know, interesting and pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It is kind of
right. It is, it is like some light and dark kind of play there, like between the lyrical content and like the video content, you know,
even
just messing around, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Pretty much us as a band, like we sing about some dark stuff. It's pretty wild. Like death, decay, rocking, rolling. And then you see us live and we're smiling the whole time. We're laughing. We'll be right back. Like,
and I want to say thank you to you guys for playing, you know, the song that, of course, I feel is one of your best and dedicated to me the entire too.
1970.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Like,
that's wow, cool. I wish I was recording that. Yeah.
That's for you, man.
That's a good one, man. We love it.
But what an amazing song. Tell people a little bit about, I mean, that was a couple of, you know, a few albums back, but tell us a little bit about who wrote that and what that's kind of about, if you remember.
That was George
wrote it. With that one. That one's actually, it's about a Vietnam experience. I forget who he was writing it about. Was it his uncle or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, maybe.
It's it's about Vietnam.
Yeah.
It's about serving in the military in Vietnam. I forget who he was writing it about, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, he had some.
What it was based on.
Yeah, we pretty much
funny like... it's upbeat, really. It's pretty fast pacing going. Yeah.
Yeah. You like this
one. It's not like Rooster. Yeah. You know,
it's kind of the consensus, you know, like we're trying to keep the tempo up, you know, keep the energy up, you know, even if it may be a dark subject matter, you know, whatever, you know.
And a lot of the times when we're coming up with ideas, we just think of a theme and we want to think of like a little story to tell with every song. So it's kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. So we'll be like, oh, let's write a Vietnam song. Mm-hmm. And then like either any one of us can go to the lab or write that, or like, let's write a song about getting your organs stolen, you know?
Yeah.
oh, yeah, we can go along with that. And like, you know, like if you listen to the lyrics of every song we have, it's usually about us, it's a mini story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of fun.
Yeah. Another song on that album, what was it? No Son of Mine or Father of Mine?
Yeah. No Son
That's
of Mine.
That's a deep one right there.
Yeah. That was another George.
That's another George one. That's about his relationship with his parents, right? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I assume so. I'm like, I hope it wasn't that bad.
We'll have to clarify that. So don't hold me to that one.
Yeah.
But something along those lines.
It's not like we're recording this for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George, let us know. Yeah.
Now I'm going to ask you guys. This artwork behind me for that record for Vultures Paradise, man. I love that. I just love that album cover, man. Who did that? I mean, would you? Is it some random artist or someone well known? Or
we ran across an artist on Instagram, and she's gonna kill us because I forget how to pronounce her name now.
Mikhail. Let's see. Hold on. She
she's tagged on some of our posts. Some of the album posts, like on our Instagram. So you could definitely track her information down. Let's see. But
shit, I'm terrible. But honestly, we pretty much just we're browsing artists on Instagram. Okay. And like we're always sharing artwork and artists. There's so many artists on Instagram, you know, like. So we pick cool artists and we want to pick somebody new every time pretty much. And this album revolved around a lot of death and decay, and Sky Burial is the theme of it all, like feeding your body to the earth. And we found an artist about that. She did death artwork.
Well, like we wanted the cover art to reflect maybe the album title, or at the time the single was Sky Burial, and the record was supposed to be called Sky Burial. So we were talking to the artist about artwork or a design based off of a Sky Burial, which is an ancient Tibetan burial process where they'll lay a corpse or a dead body like atop a mountain. You know, mountaintop, and you know, the animals and, you know, nature like naturally, you know, decomposes the body. So we thought that was a cool.
There's some videos on there. It's wild, but
a cool idea.
Hopefully, they make sure they're dead first.
I can't even pronounce her
name.
Let me see. Mika Hackart, art of
Mika Hackart.
Yeah, Hackart. So
we're from
Mika. Well, Mika, great job cover, Mika.
But she's a great artist.
Yeah,
very talented. She's got a very cool style. Yeah, and, super cool and we style. Thought that it matched, it fit the style of, you know, the material on the record. You know, we thought it was a good fit. So
yeah. Well, now the record. Me and John, I believe you did too. I mean, I had you guys in my top 10 on the Doom charts for the year. I mean, it's a phenomenal record, you know, and I believe John did too. A lot of people, I think, did actually. Thanks, how did you guys, because I mean, it's such a great record. I just want to know how you guys were able to pick what tracks to release as singles, because I mean, you know, obviously the two ones you did pick are great, but it's like, I mean, the title track to me, I love. I mean, that just... The chorus, it just sticks in your head, man. It's phenomenal. So, how'd you guys want to pick in the tracks? It's tough to choose.
It's like rolling the dice, man. You know, the ones that stood out to us, the ones that we liked, you know, the ones that...
Like, Sky Burial was the biggest song, I feel like. The one that was the most epic journey of a song. Mm-hmm. So, we're like, okay, that one we want to release first with a video. And then the second one, like Return of the Warlords, we're kind of like, well, let's make we wanted to make a rowdy video. And it was kind of a more shorter song that we could kind of blast off a quick, fast energy. So that helped form the idea.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Vulture's Paradise is just a banger. It's such a out on the road, road dog.
Again, just trying to keep the energy up, you know, the ones that kind of stand out, the ones that are, you know, the most interesting, you know, the ones that kind of cover the most ground, if you will, you know, the most well-rounded, so to speak, I guess, you know.
Yeah. And it's been tough with all of our records. I feel like on most of our records, I mean, of course, we're going to say this, we love all of our songs, but you could point to anything and be like, yeah, we could probably make that a single.
Yeah.
Even like the last track on our record, Runes, the more slow one, like, man, that's a banger too. So like,
and that was originally an acoustic song.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it made a big transformation.
Yeah, that was a lot of in studio transformation of that song, and we love where it came. So you know, but thank you. Really appreciate it.
Of course.
How long is the set right now, and what do you plan on set wise? How long you think it's going to be for the two heavy psych sounds?
One is,
I think it's about.
We only have half an hour for one and 45 minutes for the other, I believe. So,
okay.
45 for San Fran or for Vegas?
45 for Joshua Tree.
Oh, good.
Wow.
30. They released the times. You can check the timetable.
Yeah.
And, we're assuming that's what we'll get. 40 minutes probably, but 30, unfortunately, in San Francisco. So,
30 to 40, I guess, on the average.
Cool.
Trying to do some new stuff. What's going on. See how it goes.
You gonna play something that's never been released? Is that what you're gonna do or no?
No, not for this one. We're gonna just do
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got enough good songs.
Oh yeah.
I know when I say new stuff.
Yeah, no, when I say new stuff, I just mean the newest record.
I know bands that do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like a set list junkie.
Yeah, man.
And so when someone goes, "Oh yeah, we're gonna play a couple unreleased songs," I'm like, "Fuck!"
You're like what?
You know that means we're gonna take away from these other songs.
Yeah,
let you know
that I really want to hear.
Probably. Yeah,
and I can name bands even because it's and they don't give a shit. And it's like, fuck. Well, just remember, us fans really want to hear certain songs. And we know there's only X amount of slots, so it's an interesting thing. We know you're the creators, the artists, so you got to obviously go with the flow. But it's tricky out there, and it's maddening on like big bands.
Yeah, man.
And they get like six songs off the new album, you know, and they have like 10 albums. You're like, whoa!
I'm with you. Know, I'm
Iron Maiden, at least they only play like one or two, you know, maybe two or something.
I'm the same way. And when we construct set list, we really try and put ourselves in like, okay, we're going to California. We haven't played in California a lot, so we don't need to play unreleased stuff. Let's play stuff that we know and stuff that people
try to model the set list around the show or maybe the other bands we're playing with, you know, try to, you know, match the vibe.
Well, now, what's your guys' plans? You know, after Heavy Psych Sounds Fest, I mean, you guys going to get back on the road? Are you going to start maybe writing some new stuff? What's the plans now going forward?
Yeah, we have a few things. All of it? All of that. You know, we all work, so we're recovering from the Europe tour, but I'm ready. You know, we're ready to go at any time. So, like,
well, actually, we have a show like 3 days after the Joshua Tree show, so we'll be right back at it after.
Yeah, we'll be playing with Duel in Houston, so that'll be fun.
On March 30th.
Actually, that's a sick show. Duel, Foster Mother, and Kill the Lizard. They're super sick thrash band. Check them out.
They're local.
Yeah, they're super cool and some of the best people. So that show, we're really looking forward to in Houston. And I think maybe a live video performance of the new songs, or plan to put like a studio session.
Live studio session.
Like Vulture's Paradise songs. We always try and do some of that. And then some more music videos. We got some ideas cooking. Yep. And then summer shows are right around the corner. So we'll be hitting the road again for those. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, coming up with.
What do you think you'll hit the road?
Honestly, we had such a good time with Kadabra in Europe. We're trying to, we're talking about hitting the upper. So they're such fun dudes and we love them so much. So, like, I miss them. And I really wish
you could have out. Are you going to Europe again, you think? Or where would you go far as if you were to do shows? Yeah.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Maybe not this year, but next year. We'll have to be back.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so
good. Yeah, why not?
And we already talked to, we're in the works of planning when we'll be back. So it was too good. And hopefully, you know.
Financially, was it at least. I mean, it's your first time over there, so it's not expected for you to go make a bunch of money necessarily. But financially, did it work out pretty good for first time?
It worked out. It was nuts. I didn't think it was. You know, I was like, hey, even if we spend a bunch of money, we're going to Europe. But like, we
came back. It's an experience, right?
We came back with a little change.
That's good.
Good.
Nice.
Nuts. So like,
we all want you to make money. I mean, that's the key.
For sure.
We've heard that about Europe is the support. I mean. It's obvious rock and roll as a culture here has been kind of tamped down for about a decade, just tamped down, pretending like it's not here anymore. But rock and roll has kept it. You know, we've gone pretty full hip hop nation here in our country. And, and if not, country's gotten a little more rock. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the room for the real good rock and roll bands that play songs that people can hear the lyrics, good vocals, It's the hidden jewel. It's the style of music in our country that has the highest upside because of my unofficial testing of people introducing them to rock and roll. No one in our country knows about it anymore. They all only know the old or they hear the garbage on the radio.
Yeah.
And that radio stuff is very narrow of the styles now. And so literally... we've lost two generations where literally almost any 20-something doesn't even know even an inkling of these styles. And they probably think, oh, it's probably like what my dad listens to, some weird shit. So I'm going to go listen to, you know, you know, young something or other DJ or whatever. Or, you know, in certain regions, they're going to go country, which is more rock stars in country than there are rock in America.
Yeah.
You know, they dress, they look. Oh, they got a guitar in their hand. Their hair's getting longer now. You know, I love looking at social, the way things are go and psychologically in America. It's very simple. If the rock and roll was given to people with a mass amount, and you guys would be, it literally one of the bands I would introduce to people. People like it. They just don't know.
Right. And
so the best part right now is our Generation X.
Yeah, sure.
Which is me. It really ranges from like low mid 40s, like mid 40s, the mid upper mid 50s. Everything I test on all my demographics on my podcast and other things. I mean, it's obvious. And we grew up in as Gen X with great 70s as kid.
Oh, yeah.
Great 70s rock. I mean, I grew up with Motown and disco, too.
Yeah.
I'm lucky. I got to hear kinds of music like that. And then the 80s, you know, heavy metal actually was really cool for a while until it went hair metal. and then it was like, fucked off, you know, I've got alternative rock.
Yeah.
And then grunge happened.
Grunge,
and
yeah.
So rock and roll is such a part of a vital part of America, but
not anymore.
You won't hear it on commercials other than Rival Sons has like a 11-year-old song that
or I maybe play maybe the Foo Fighters, you know, Foo Fighters is probably the only other one here.
Oh yeah. Well, he's part of the establishment at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, he's he's already drank the blood or some shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I love Dave Grohl. Him and I are the same age and grew up in the exact same county.
Oh, yeah?
At the same time.
Wow.
I don't know him. Yeah.
Cool,
so
man.
He grew up right outside of D.C. in Virginia, just like me.
Wow.
He's going to punk shows, I guess.
Yeah.
I was never in a punk. Mm. I was a metalhead at that point in time.
Yeah.
And when I started sneaking into D.C., it was more to, you know, go to bars and meet women, and he was busy, or girls, I just say, and he was busy fucking just getting dirty and gritty.
Damn.
And, you know, seeing and meeting, you know, whether it was Wino or, mm-hmm. or you know, Pentagram and all these other great, you know, DC bands. And DC had a big punk scene.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Fugazi and all that. So it's, you know, guys, we're a product of our environment and what we're given. And so that's what's so important about rock and roll. It's sharing and getting it out there and helping people just break that seal where they think the legitimacy of the music is only because it's on the radio. Like the almighty radio gods and these, they're the ones that would know better than anyone, right? And since we fall for that, I just get a captive audience. I beg them on Uber and Lyft. I change the car stereo. I don't care if it's a Jamaican dude. I don't care if it's an Asian chick that came and picked me up in a Hello Kitty car. That was a little weird. I don't care if it's a 65-year-old man. I'll do it. And I'll ask him, go, you ever heard of rock and roll? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. And like, I like everything. Every single person answers the question like that. They don't want to offend. They want to feel all inclusive. They're like, oh, I like everything. Like, I don't. That's my tom.
I like
I'm all about rock and roll. I got to take up for my homies here. So let me play you some rock and roll that they're not giving you. And I'll ask them a few questions and I'll pick a certain song and all that and go like, from there.
Harry Styles or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I
play a lot of Rival Sons.
Machine Gun Kelly, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I play Dirty Streets for people, Sasquatch, Villagers of Ionia City. I will play for certain ethnic groups just to kind of get it in there because it'll have like this kind of reggae start to the song. Oh, God, it's my favorite song by them, and now I'm like blanking out on it. Of course, on a recording here. And it starts off with a reggae thing.
Yeah.
And so it's familiarity. So it locks them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then all once guitar gets more prominent and the vocalist sings like the most beautiful thing ever. Little band out of a little small village in Greece called Villagers of Ionia City. And the album is literally mystical and spiritual. I'll play that song for them. And I'm looking over at them all the time. People get off. They just can't believe they're taking pictures of the screen of their car so they can remember the song in the band.
That's awesome.
They do not know this music. No one knows it. It's not because the music's not good. No one knows it. Well, if they watch traditional TV, mainstream TV all the time and they go to movies, watch movies, they will not know about it.
That's they're on the bottom TikTok, line. You know. They don't see it on TikTok, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no rock and roll on TikTok. You know?
Well, and John, you know, the Gen X thing is, you know, obviously back then it was MTV. you know, and that's how music was fed. Everything on MTV was rock. You know, you said the hair metal, the grunge. And without that, you know, people just in general like to be fed music. Unfortunately, people are, you know, not that many people like to explore it like we do. So yeah. Back then, the Gen X, yeah, it was part of the culture too, the American culture. Rock and roll was what it's all about. It's just, you know, I personally like, you know, rock and metal and stuff to be underground. I like it. I don't like it mainstream. I think it's supposed to be the antithesis sort of a mainstream. So to me, yeah. I enjoy it. Now, of course, I wish there were definitely more people going to the shows than when we were, you know, during the week or whatever it is. Of course, we all would like to see that. But in terms of its, you know, I think influence on the culture, you know, I like that it's sort of a once again, like a counterculture type of thing. And that's where I think, you know, where it belongs, just in my opinion. I don't know.
I agree with you. What I think is important is the survival of it. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
If you really start looking at statistics, Matt, you really start digging down and you go through the full rosters of the main three labels. And of course their subsidiary branches. Cause like Atlantic isn't even, they're underneath another label.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were growing up, we had 8 or 9, 10 good labels. Now it's controlled by the very few board of chairmen or whatever, chair people, excuse me. And so they're controlling things. And then you got the management companies. And so it's tricky. And MTV was great to add on, Matt. Mm-hmm. It was. Mm-hmm. MTV added to it. Anyways, it's tough to sit around and watch. And then when you know the ignorance of people just don't know the music. They just, they don't have any idea. And so, yeah, that's why I named my company Vegas Rock Revolutions, because we need a rock and roll revolution.
Yeah, man. I like that. For sure.
Yeah.
World dominance.
That's me on my soapbox. Sorry, Matt.
Oh, it's all good, man. You know, these guys from One Lung right here are going to be, you know, they're in the forefront of that revolution right now, you know, and that's what's kind of cool to see. And, you know, the music, like I said, this album, Vulture's Paradise, is just just an incredible record, you know, production wise, you know, lyrically, I mean, vocally, I mean, every way, it's just, it's phenomenal. And with you guys, obviously, like I said, I mean, it's, you know, it's got to be tough. Like you said, you want to tour more, you want to do all this stuff. Obviously, you got to work. And it's, you know, it takes time, too, to build now. I'm sure, you know, it's obviously taking you guys, you know, but this is your fourth record. It's taking time to get to this point now where you can now start, obviously, touring the globe and you're on a great label now. So it takes a good almost 8 to 10 years to get to where you're at. Yeah.
We had the COVID derailment, that's for sure, because on our third record, it was at the end of 2019, going into 2020, we're getting signed to Heavy Psych. We're going to go to Europe in 2020. And then shit hit the fan. And now we're finally getting our momentum back. We're like, all right, well, we'll use this time to write a new record. And now we're here. So we're 3 years late than where we want to be. But we're getting
better late than ever.
Yeah, we're,
there you go.
It's worth it. Yeah. It's really good. It is. You're set. I'll be looking forward to pretty much the most of everything else. I've seen almost every band on that bill, believe it or not. I don't know if I've seen Windhand. It's kind of weird.
It's a good time.
I might as well went in at Psycho Vegas, but I'm not a massive slow doom kind of guy.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, actually. But the two bands that have maybe the best songs that, you know, you can sing to and you'll know, it's you guys in a band called High Tone Son of a Bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Great, dude. I mean, they don't have a lot. They have like a dozen something songs. That's it.
Yeah.
And they have a one that they compiled their 4 or 3 EPs together. Check that album out. It's rock and roll, 2 guitars, and it's good vocals. It's crazy ass name, you know? But they'll probably play early. They're probably the smallest band, but they've been around for 12 years. I mean, they recorded a song with Matt Pike on this last live album.
Holy shit,
cool.
Yeah.
And that's two bands that just have really good songs. Of course, Duel is always going to be awesome.
Yes.
I do have to, you know, put out a word to my homeboy, Tom Davies of Nebula, which was just announced yesterday, is having leukemia. Literally got it not too long after performing at Planet Desert Rock. So our thoughts and for many prayers, we'll say. There's already a GoFundMe for Tom Davies. So Check it out online. Right, as he's recovering, he's gone through a load of health issues over this last month. Bad.
That's rough. That's...
like really bad. Like he's had Bell's palsy for part of that as well. And he's a, but he told me, he goes, I ain't going out this way. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. He sent me a message. And I was like, damn, this isn't the end of my story. I'm not going out this way.
Yeah.
And it's, we have to live our life sometimes where we don't know when things just dramatically change. And so that's why I urge people to go to live fucking music.
Oh, yeah.
Go by yourself. You don't have to go with other people. Rock and roll crowds nowadays are the easiest group to go hang out. There's
that's
no
true.
That's just, I love these people. Everyone's showed up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everyone, you know, there's no fucking attitudes or, you know, you might have a drunk idiot or some guy that he's not used to drinking too much, so then he starts hitting on the chicks. Yeah. You just kind of got to laugh at him. I mean, really?
Not more.
You got to try at least. I'm kind of happy the guy at least trying to get laid. I don't know.
Yeah.
You sit at home and play video games. Right? You're not going to get laid.
So you got to give him credit, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to give people credit for trying. Yeah. It's community.
It is.
Yes.
It really can be. It really can.
It is.
And that's what, speaking of the community, like we're from the Texas scene right now and just the Texas community right now, all the music coming out of
that's
Texas.
Why we are where we are right now.
Yeah, know? It's just the homies that are looking out for each other and booking shows together. And, you know, I feel like there could be a documentary made about all these bands just in a couple cities, you know? Like,
yeah.
Just, Texas, you know, Texas bands.
Yeah.
Loaded
state of super sick bands.
Talent.
So we love
I mean, Austin in particular is just, just wowzer.
Mm-hmm.
And like a small band that I saw at Stoner Jam like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, called Smoky Mirrors.
Oh, my God.
They just got signed by like Rise Above Records.
That's rough,
there's people like, who?
They're great.
Like, yeah. White Dog got signed even, and they don't even have a fucking Facebook page, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
I think Texas and I think San Diego are my favorite two scenes per se. San Diego is an unbelievable psychedelic scene. Very, all the textures of psychedelic. Earthless is from there.
Yeah.
Radio Moscow one time was from there for a little while. Sacramento, and it just goes on and on. Yeah. And then now you got bands like Formula 400 to just bring, you know, barrel out two guitars, two vocalists as well.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And it in Mezua as well. And so San Diego and Texas are just clearly examples that you can have a good scene, and music just rises to the top.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not in Vegas. As much. And it's just, but we, for stoner psych, like the heavier psych and doom, or even just organic rock and roll, it's just pretty limited. It's surprising. My boy Sonolith, they kick ass. They open for me all the time. And, you know, if you ask Foster Mother and you ask Duel about Counts Vamped, they'll tell you because they both played my shows.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. Foster Mother played, I put them together with Void Vader, Formula 400, and Sonolith.
Damn.
And we killed it. Friday night, we probably had 170, 80 people there.
That's great, man. That's a great show. That's a great turnout.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, guys, we're coming up close to an hour here. I want to definitely get you guys to let the viewers and listeners know here where to check you guys out, buy your merch, music, and keep up with you guys. So go ahead and just do all the plugs, if you will.
Warlung on Instagram and warlung.bandcamp.com is all of our merch. We got some leftover tour merch there, some cool stuff, and all our records. Spotify, crank them up. And
Apple Music,
and we'll keep trying to keep the content alive and well on the socials. It's always fun
and do you guys proud,
And then come out to California.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to seeing you guys. Obviously, Heavy Psych Sounds Fest, both up here in San Francisco, and of course, where John's going to be at Joshua Tree. I mean, I'm actually jealous. I wish I was going to that one, to be honest with you, but. Yeah, the one up here is cool, but, you know, there's nothing that beats the desert with this kind of music. And
yeah, for sure.
Hey,
that whole vibe.
Francisco show last year. It was an awesome place.
It was great. It's great. Yeah, it's on awesome. The street there. Yeah, yeah.
And and y'all come say hey, you know, come.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you get a minute, we'll chill. We'll hang out.
Absolutely.
You know I
will. Yeah.
I'll be running around the whole time. And for folks that don't know, it's March 25th and 26th.
Mm-hmm. Coming up.
Joshua Tree and San Francisco doing it simultaneously. So the lineups, many of them will be traveling from one to the other.
Yep.
Along the way. So
it's going to be a trip.
Really interesting stuff, to say the least. But yeah, it should be some good hangs.
You will.
Out there in the desert. And of course, is the desert your second show or first show? First one?
Yeah, second show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least, you know, you don't have to stress out about driving up to San Francisco after that.
Yeah, yeah. We can hang in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get our mind right.
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, we'll get on. And there's even an after party after that. So
yeah.
It's gonna be. And ticket sales have been brisk.
Yes.
It's been very good for Joshua Tree.
Awesome.
Cool.
Sweet.
Very good.
All right.
Right.
We're gonna be playing in front of a whole lot of people. I'm a big mouth. And I'm going to tell people to keep a lookout for you. You know what? You know I got you guys covered.
We appreciate it.
I believe in you. And
we appreciate
Matt,
you.
Make sure to hang with these boys.
Oh,
tell people because these are the real deal. They're really good live.
And, I can't wait. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. We appreciate y'all's support, love, and support for sure.
Absolutely.
Guys y'all are the reason why we're here. You know, again,
for sure.
You know.
Let's say it's the community, like you guys said, you know, it's the one thing about the scene is it's such a really cool community of people, you know, everyone's just so cool, you know, it's one, you know, it is, I mean, just over the years going to, you know, being in different scenes and so forth, metal scenes or rock scenes, to me, there's nothing like what we're seeing, you know, with this scene right now. And, you know, it's just, we'll just keep going. We're going to do our part doing this. You guys obviously just keep kicking ass, putting out great music and playing great live shows. And, you know, yeah, can't wait to see you guys in a couple of weeks. And thanks again for coming on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks dudes. Appreciate y'all.
Have a good one. See you soon.